We all love a good story, don't we? It makes me want to ask, what's your favorite story? As far as we know, humanity has been storytellers and story receivers for as long as we have recorded. And in fact, it's because we have them recorded that we know that we have been storytellers and receivers from the very beginning. There's something that comes alive in all of humanity when we hear a good story. Some kind of emotion or action or movement or thought or curiosity or depth happens when we hear a good and compelling story. Sometimes those stories are just pure fiction. So the power of a story of something completely made up to move us is there. And sometimes the story is true. And when we hear the story is true, it just hits that much deeper. What is it that grips you in a story? Think about your favorite story. Maybe you like to read novels. Maybe you like to watch movies. Maybe you have a story that you remember from when you were a kid. Maybe you have a good family memory that it's a story that always gets told at all of your gatherings. And sometimes it causes fights, and sometimes it makes everyone laugh, and sometimes it does both. But a good story will do something to you. It'll move you. Something happened. And each year at Easter, there is a particular story that is told. Each year at Easter, there's a particular story that we remember in the Christian faith. And it goes like this. From Luke 24, it says, "But very early on Sunday morning, the woman went to the tomb and taking spices that they had prepared. And they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And so they went in. But they didn't find the body of Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the man asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. So they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. And stooping, he peered into the tomb to look. And he saw the empty linen wrappings. Then went home again, wondering what had happened." It might just be the greatest story ever told. And I promise you, this isn't just some pastoral gimmick so that we can have a catchy one-liner for Easter. It's quite truthfully the best-selling story in the history of humankind. 5 to 7 billion copies have been sold and distributed since the creation of the printing press. That's what they can gather. And before we had the printed book, the story was told for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It's quite literally the best-selling story in the history of humankind. And not only that, billions have believed it as truth. And billions more lend it moral and social credibility. It might just be the greatest story ever told. It has impacted culture and humanity more than any other story or movement. some for the better and some for the worst. And that's what shows its power. Because not only has it been used for good, it's also been weaponized. That's how powerful this story is. It has been scrutinized by people outside of the faith. It has been torn apart and looked at. And here's what they can't not say. It's at least historical. It's at least historical. There's only a couple hundred years that gap when the story happened in the earliest manuscripts that we have. You might think, man, a lot can happen in that couple hundred years, but there's plenty of other literature that we accept as completely true that have gaps of thousands of years that we accept as true. It might literally be the greatest story ever told. And in order for it to be the greatest story ever told, it must be true. And not just then, but now and always. If it's going to be the greatest story ever told in the history of humankind, it can't not just be true then. And it can't not just be true 100 years ago. It has to be true now, and we have to believe that it has to be true perpetually into the future, or else it's not the greatest story ever told. And quite frankly, if it isn't, if Easter isn't the greatest story ever told, then the entire Christian faith unravels. The entire Christian faith unravels. It's the hub that keeps everything together. Without the resurrection, salvation is not complete. Promises are broken. And Jesus is not who he says he is. He ends up just being a good ancient teacher of morality that we may have some account of his life. Maybe we still have the account of, you know, Luke and John and Matthew and Mark. And maybe there's some letters of some of his followers that we have about this guy and Jesus and what he taught. But otherwise, we would just find him in a history class or an ethics class alongside of other great thinkers like Confucius and Hammurabi. So if it's not true, then it's just another movement of human thought. Promises broken. Salvation, not a thing. But it's hard not to think that there is some truth to be unfolded here, right? Billions of people over the last 2,000 years have had a lived and felt experience of it being true. We really can't deny that. And plenty of great thinkers of, we couldn't call it yesteryear, our great foundational thinkers of our current society, of math, of science, all found it to be true for the most part. And not only that, they lived it. They felt it. It impacted and it changed their lives. Because it might just be the greatest story ever told. And here's what does need to be said. It's a big thing to believe. Easter comes around every year and we celebrate it and it's great. But if you stop and think about it, we're literally celebrating that somebody rose himself from the dead. Like, that doesn't happen. I mean, sometimes I feel like that we just accept this reality as truth, but not really stop and think about, like, what this really means. I mean, somebody who had been dead for, you know, 3 days raises himself from the grave. We seem to maybe believe that more than the fact that Jesus calls us to love our enemy. And which one is harder to believe? And so, it's not an easy thing to fully grasp and take hold of. It's not common sense. It isn't faith because it's catchy. It really is an assurance in what we hope for and a confidence in what we do not see. So we do truly need to acknowledge that believing that Jesus rose from the dead and continues to live now, believing the story of Easter to be true, it's not common sense. It isn't. In fact, it defies it. Because common sense says, when something dies, it stays dead. And even the disciples had a hard time believing it when they were told. That should cut us some slack. They had spent 3 straight years following Jesus. They had given up everything. When Jesus didn't have a place to sleep, they didn't have a place to sleep. When Jesus didn't eat, they didn't eat. When Jesus went to this town, when Jesus was tried to be stoned or thrown off a cliff or run out of town, they were being stoned. They were trying to be thrown off the cliff. They were being run out of town. They had stuck with Jesus this entire way. And it's not like Jesus withheld a secret. 3 times he told them, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to raise again. And 3 other times he said it in a parable. So 6 times he said, I am coming back to life. This has to happen. This is how it's going to be. And when the women that were at the tomb ran to the disciples and said, guess what? Jesus is alive. They were like, no chance. No way. That doesn't happen. Sure, we saw Jesus raise other people from the dead, but he was, at that point in time, he was Jesus. He was God. He could do that. But somebody raising themselves from the dead? No way. Even Peter, who is like, okay, there might be something here. He's at least gone from the tomb. What happened to him? And he sprints there, and he stoops, and he looks, and he's like it's just linen. Even he went away thinking, I don't know what happened here. Once again, very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, and taking the spices they had prepared, and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, and so they went in. But they didn't find the body of Jesus, and they stood there puzzled. And 2 men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes, and the women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground, and the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the 3rd day. And then they had remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense. So they didn't believe it. It's not an easy thing to believe. It's not the easiest. I mean, death is the great equalizer, is it not? It's our common denominator. It is finality for all of us. I mean, that is, outside looking in, that's what death is in the world. That's what makes it so hard. Hard enough for even the disciples who have followed Jesus for 3 years. But here's the truth. And this is the truth that all followers of Jesus have to wrestle with. Because if the resurrection is true, if Easter is real, then it's all true. And it changes everything. And every follower of Jesus has to wrestle with the fact, is Easter real? If the story of Easter comes alive to us, if we truly celebrate it, if we accept it as real just as much as we'll accept other things as real, and when we sit here and think, you know what, it's true, then Jesus is who he said he is. There is a God, there is a creator. He is not one that is aloof and distant, but loving, and so loving that he came and he died for us. He came and he lived so that we might know who he is and a way for us to live. Not only did he die for us, because that wasn't just the point was also to rise for us. So that death no longer is final anymore. That death is no longer the end of everything. It's not finality. It's no longer even the great equalizer. It has lost its power. The brokenness of the world then has a mender. We can believe what Jesus said, that he says, I came so that you might be free. And we all have the possibility of forgiveness if we believe the God who hung on the cross and pleaded for forgiveness for those who put them there. And the truth is that we don't even have to wait to see what heaven will look like. We don't have to wait to see what the afterlife and what we'll experience in eternity will look like, because what Jesus does is that he makes it possible for heaven to be here on earth now. That through his people, through the spirit-filled people of God who have believed in the truth of this story, that heaven can break through here and now. We're willing to believe in the Easter story, that someone 3 days later, after they had been killed, rose from the dead of their own power. If we can get there, then everything else that Jesus said is true. Because it doesn't take any more belief than anything else. Truthfully, it's the greatest story ever told. And if we believe that, then it changes everything. It's hard for us to walk away from a story like this if we believe it and say it doesn't change anything in me. So I want to invite you to put yourself in this story. And no matter where you find yourself, maybe, just maybe, you're like, I've believed this story for 40 years. The story can always be new to you. It can always be fresh. It can always enliven something in you that you thought was gone, or that was never there before. Because it's the greatest story ever told. I mean, that's why we watch movies over and over. That's why we watch books over and over, because it enlivens something in us. It does something for us. And maybe you're in the place of a disciple hearing, yeah, Jesus is alive? No way. No way. But your curiosity is piqued because, have this many people been bamboozled for this long? Has culture been shaped by this person for this long and it not have a shred of truth? And maybe you're one of the women who have experienced this and you're like, we've got to tell somebody. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is almost crazy enough not to believe. Put yourself in the story. As you think about this story and as you put yourself in there, if there's something that comes alive in you, if there's an emotion, an action, a movement, a thought, a curiosity, or a depth that happens when you hear this story and you think, it might just be true, then lean into it. Believe it. Because truthfully, it's the greatest story ever told. And if we believe that, it will change everything.